Hello and welcome to episode number 8 of the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams podcast with your host Alex
and Sarah. Today on episode number 8, we will be sitting down with Mandolin, who is the owner of Fanny's Ice Pops. So stay tuned. We are very excited to sit down with the founder of Fanny's Ice Pops today, Mandolin Hume. Welcome, and thank you for taking the time to sit down with us.
Yes, thank you.
So why don't you start off with introducing yourself and your business?
Okay, so my name's Mandolin Hume, and we just finished our 6th year of Fanny's Ice Pops. And Fanny's is a company that tries to use as much local and organic ingredients in their popsicles, and we sell them at farmers markets and local stores and pop-up events, and it's just been really fun to see how it's changed over the last 6 years.
I bet, yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So where did you get the idea for Fanny's Ice Pops, and how did you start the business?
Well, the idea came, I had twins, and I was a preschool special needs teacher for about 16 years, and I decided that I wanted to stay home with them. And we live by Manitou Park, and I think every day the ice cream truck would come by our house and the little music would be on and they would want some treats. So I thought, well, I bet we could do something that's a little bit healthier, a different alternative for them without all the dyes and artificial flavors and colorings. So we just started experimenting with our morning smoothies and freezing them. Oh. And then we like, well, I think we could do some really cool flavors. So just getting online, looking at recipes, Pinterest, you know, just getting inspiration. And then we started just trying out all sorts of flavors. And I'm like, I think we could take these to Manitou or go up to Comstock Park. And this would be like a really fun summer activity.
That is so cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of how it started. Just wanting to find something healthier for my kids to enjoy on a hot summer day.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Especially with those dyes nowadays.
Right.
It's like dye is in everything.
Everything. You look at the label, you're like, I don't know how to pronounce this or what this is. And yeah, my goal is that everything you on our label is something you know.
Yes, you can pronounce
it. Something that comes from the earth.
Exactly.
Yes.
So at what point did you start selling at farmers markets?
Well, actually, so I had this idea. I'm like, I should get like not an ice cream truck, but like some kind of bike. And so we were doing research on how to like this would be fun to go to the park. So I did find it's a company out of Portland. I was going to get a vintage bike, but then I found this company out of Portland that like remade vintage ice cream tricycles.
Oh, that's neat.
So it's like a box on the front and it's a three-wheeled bike. So I'm like, oh, I'll just get one of these and we'll just ride around the neighborhood. But our freezer was full of just like random flavors that we had tried. So we were having a garage sale and my kids at the time were I think they were 3, maybe almost 4. And I said, whatever you sell, it's your money. So it's like $1 a popsicle.
Yeah.
So anyway,
motivation right
there. I know. So they were good little sellers, but just people at coming to the garage, like, these are actually really good. Like, you should like go somewhere and sell these. So the first season, actually, we ended up not going to the park in our neighborhood. We like, well, let's do the Spokane farmers market. So that first season, we just did one farmers market just to kind of see how it went, and we had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah.
Does anyone, when they start this, like, random business? But, yeah, that's kind of how it started. So we thought, well, we'll just start here. And then I think the second year we jumped to 3 markets. And then we kind of worked our way up. We were doing up to 5, and that became too much.
Oh, busy,
so
busy
it was
for sure.
Yeah, this last year we went back and we did 3 farmers market this last year.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
Yeah, just trying to find the balance and
exactly
with time and creating,
and making, and then trying to sell and
How did the community respond when you first launched your popsicles?
It was overwhelmingly great. It was actually more than I thought that we would get. When on our first market, I remember calling my husband and saying, oh my gosh, I sold 25 popsicles. And he was like, 25 people wanted them? Like, yes. So it was, now that would not be a great event for me. But my first market, I was like ecstatic. But I do feel like Spokane as a community has a really great people supporting local. Totally, people love their food community here. It's, and over the last 6 years, that has completely blossomed and boomed, just like what people are offering, what people are offering at farmers markets. Not that I was on the front end of that, but I was kind of like, nobody was doing like pies and, you know, Evil Skeever, just all these different businesses that have popped up over the years.
It was just kind of mostly like vegetables.
Yeah, and at a farmer. Totally. Yeah. So I think people are like, oh, whoa, what's this? Like, it was an item that you could buy and consume while you were shopping, and it was made from all really good ingredients. We really try to source from local farmers. So they were like, we're getting it from local farmers, making it to a new product. So it was really a great first season, and each year it's just built on that.
That's exciting.
Yeah, so it's great. And I think too, like, again, there's more businesses that are offering this, but there wasn't a lot of offering for like dairy free and gluten free and nut free.
Such a big thing nowadays. Yes, too.
And like parents would just be so happy to be able to get a treat for their kid, and like, oh my gosh, I love this that you're doing it. So it was a great response.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool, especially when you're doing vegan, because it's like, what's in the ingredients? And like everything has milk or an egg in it, and it's like, okay, got to put that back on the shelf. And it's cool that you do that.
Yeah, it's a little niche that I think, there's lots more options now, like these little companies that are coming. But at that time, it was like there really wasn't a lot of options, so.
Yeah, you can't go get ice cream. You can get a popsicle.
Yay!
So by using fresh, local, and organic ingredients for your popsicles, do you find it harder to find these quality goods during the off season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, our goal is to get as much from local farmers as we can. But yeah, like we make strawberry pops our whole season, and sometimes strawberries are not at the peak of their season. So we have an issue of storage and like where to keep things, but we do try to like get bulk and then freeze so that we can use it later, especially rhubarb. I try to like really store up on rhubarb when it's in season at the beginning of the summer, and then I can use it throughout. But you can't do that with everything because it's just a storage issue for me.
I bet.
But yes, it is harder. And sometimes in a pinch, we have to like, okay, we're going to go get organic strawberries from Costco. Like we really try to either do local and or organic, one or the other. But yeah, it's hard to find that sometimes. And we have great sources here in our area, but sometimes it is difficult. But the good and bad thing about popsicles is it's definitely seasonal. Like, come October, unfortunately, people's desire for an ice pop goes considerably down.
That cold weather.
They just, you know, and I've tried to make pumpkin spice and nobody wants it. But it's definitely like a 6 month season. So it's within my season, it's pretty easy to find what I
need. Very true. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Did you like maybe spicy flavors for like winter?
Well, last year I tried to do like 1 to 2 new flavors each month and kind of like a pop of the month.
Yeah.
My 365 ice pop campaign did not go over very well. Ice pops all year round. But no, it was fine. I definitely had takers. Like I did some like Halloween pops that looked like ghosts. And, you know, I did some stuff that... Like the chocolate avocado is super popular, and it's like a fudgesicle. That one is like year round. People kind of want that because it almost tastes like ice cream on a stick.
Yeah.
But a lot of the other ones, it just didn't have enough support that I'm not doing that this year.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. But I do a lot of like holiday stuff. So like what we found through our catering is ice pops are super fun in drinks and like champagne.
Oh,
and so like, unique. Like New Year's, it's like, let's get, and I have two sizes now. So I have a big my typical 3 ounce, and then I have like a 1.5 ounce. So they're much smaller, and you can just like put in a little glass of champagne. And so around the holidays, I do a little bit more. So yeah. It's like, we can have ice pops all year round. Let's do this.
Please, I'm always. So you mentioned like your unique flavors. When coming up with new flavors, do you have like a group that you do pre-tastings with, or do you just put them out and just kind of ask for community feedback?
I do a little bit of both. My kids are pretty good. Now they're almost 10, so they are good little taste testers.
Oh, and
they're pretty cute. They'll be like, Mom, I think this one might need a little more lime. I'm like, oh, yes, you are so right. But, you know, if I do a new flavor, like this fall, I did some new flavors. I did a London Fog, which was Earl Grey tea and coconut milk. And I did a pumpkin spice latte. And I did apple cider, which was really good. So, like, it was really great. So, you know, if I have friends come over, I'm like, could you try these and just give me your feedback, what you think? And sometimes it's just so pedal to the metal in the season that I'm like, okay, I'm going to try something new with peaches because they're in season, and I'll do a smaller batch and I'll just say,
so smart.
Like, hey, this is a new one. If you do not like it, I will give you another one. But try it. I think it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, usually I can tell, like, if I like it, it's probably okay. Yeah. But yeah, so I do a little bit of both, but no official tasting committee that I maybe should put together.
Hey, you got the kids.
I know. They're pretty great. Yeah.
What is your personal favorite flavor combination?
Well, this is always a hard question for me. I don't know why. It's like asking your favorite child. Yeah. But I mean, if I had to answer, I think probably raspberry basil. I love raspberry and I love basil. I do strawberry basil too, which is really good, but I think raspberries are my favorite fruit, and those are very seasonal. I only do it when raspberries are in season, and so I get pretty excited about that one.
Yeah.
Roasted peach and vanilla is another one of my really, but again, I only do that in peach season. So I typically have 8 flavors that I do all season long. Like, they're always available, like the chocolate avocado and the pineapple whip and straight up strawberry, but the seasonal ones I kind of get a little bit more excited about because it's like, get it while it lasts.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like that special edition of popsicles.
Yeah, exactly. And they're always, you can always, you know, special order them. But what I offer at the farmer's market. So, yeah. I'd probably say raspberry basil. I'm going to stick with that one.
Nice. One thing that we found out is you did like a Kickstarter. What made you decide to do the Kickstarter, and how did you get the word out for that campaign?
Well, that was a super scary emotional experience that I did not expect. But some other smaller companies at the time had done one, and we were probably 2 years in. And at that point, I was using just like the 10 ice pop molds that I had gotten off Amazon.
Really?
And I had a lot of those, but it was really, it was so hard to unmold them. And I was getting this weird callus on my finger from pulling the sticks out. I know.
Who would have guessed?
I know. Who would have known? The learning curve.
Yes.
It just was, the freezing process took a long time because I had to wait overnight. And it was just a lot more kitchen time. So I had found a machine that I wanted to buy, and it was pretty spendy. So we decided, well, let's just try the Kickstarter. Let's just see if we could, you know, the community would come around and support us.
Very neat.
They did. And the reason I say it was scary and emotional is because you don't really expect that in a Kickstarter. It's like, yeah, you just launch a Kickstarter and
here comes money.
Here comes the money. Yeah. And then it's like, no, because every day, every hour, you're watching like, we got $1,000, we got $100 or whatever. But then it gets closer to your end and you're like, we're not going to make it.
Then
people just like kick in at the end. And it was very humbling. And like, I was just overwhelmed with people who wanted to come and support this little company. And
so cool.
It was a really cool experience. But yeah, we just decided to do it because we really needed this machine, and it was such a huge investment.
Yeah.
And ultimately, we would have had to do it either way just because of how our business was growing.
Yeah.
And this machine allows us to do 88 popsicles at a time, and it takes like 30 minutes versus
that is so nice.
Oh my gosh, right.
8 hours.
Cut
yeah,
labor
yeah, totally.
Wow.
And just the quality of the ice pop is better because it freezes so fast. Those ice crystals are smaller, so even the texture of the popsicle changed to like a legit ice pop.
Got the popsicle science
down. Yeah,
it was
great. Yeah. So it was a great experience.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you mentioned this a little bit before about getting into catering.
Mm-hmm.
When did you decide to start doing that? And did you have to kind of change things up to accommodate that side of the business?
Well, we had done, again, with our ideas of just really, it started around my kids. I was like, oh, we could do like little birthday parties and, you know, go ride our little bike to a birthday party. So we had done a couple of those, mostly just friends or friends of friends. But when we did the Kickstarter, which allowed our production to go up, it kind of opened up that world of like being able to do some more catering, just because I was having a hard time keeping up with the markets and then having extra for a Friday night event or something.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. So getting the pop machine was a huge game changer, and just the quality of them and how long it took me to do that. But that's when we started experimenting with like, these would be really fun in like a glass of champagne or even like a Moscow Mule or
just kind of always testing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so smart because it's like when you're so young, it's like one person does it that way. But maybe if I try something new, then who knows what's going to happen.
Just reinvent it. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, that's kind of how it started. And then we were like, I think we could do weddings. And so then I went to a wedding fair and kind of got my foot in the door that way.
There you go. Get your name out there.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Didn't you do catering for, I don't know if this is right, but Dancing for the Stars, one of them? Or?
Oh, yes, I did.
Wow.
I was not there. I just took my pops. I think they knew I'd be a little too excited.
Yeah. Right.
That was kind of my favorite show. Do you want to see my dance moves?
Yeah.
No, just kidding. It was Julianne Hough's wedding in Coeur d'Alene. And so the caterer had just wanted just something different for their beach party. So they did ice pops. So they had
a
3-day event. So that was just part of their beach day.
That is so cool.
Yeah,
I didn't name get on the pops.
I know, I didn't get to meet her, but I did get my pops there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we were very fascinated to be able to find your popsicles in our local grocery stores here in Spokane. What was the process like to get them in stores and selling them retail?
Well, it was probably the hardest part was to find who to talk to. Because you call those businesses like Main Market, they're awesome to work with. But like My Fresh Basket, it was like, okay, who do I need to, there's like a specific frozen food person. So it's trying to figure out who to talk to initially. And I am still doing just single sale for my pops. They're not in a box or anything. And that might be kind of what we're looking towards doing is boxes.
Yeah.
But once you found the right person, and to just get licensed through the state, you have to have your labels to be a certain way and ingredients.
Oh,
so that's like kind of the hardest thing. You already have that figured out, and then you just, the store's ready to carry them.
Kind of work around with
Washington
laws.
Right,
stuff.
What you have to have on your label. And so that, I think the hardest part was just finding out who to talk to and then just trying to figure out your display and how you want them to look in the freezer. And it took us a couple of years of just like figuring out how long do you want to carry them? Do you want to do just seasonally too? And some places choose to do year round. But just working with each individual store and figuring out what they need. So
That's an exciting process.
Yeah, it is. It's fun to be able to be available in other places.
Yeah, without physically having
to. Right. Yeah. Or just having to wait for a market to be there or whatever. So.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. Yeah.
Totally. So do you have a team that you work with, or do you do most of this yourself?
No team. It is a one-lady band. But this year, every year we just look to see how you can better your business and grow and kind of balance your growth. I've hired some people sometimes to help me at markets in years past, just so when I'm doing 3 in a row, it's
just not overwhelming.
Right.
Yeah.
And I need time to make them. And So I have had help with selling, but at this point I am the only one who makes them.
That's incredible.
I know, it really is crazy. Let's just say it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. But this year I am hoping to, I'm looking for a kitchen space that I can bring in a team or just a couple people to help with prep and labeling and bagging. And it's just a lot of time away from the family. And so as my kids get older, it's like, I still love this business so much and I want to see it grow and be successful, but I also need to balance, like, it's summer and my kids are home from school and how do I, you know,
kind of having that family life, work life.
Yes, exactly. So this season I'm hoping to have a team, if you will, maybe a couple people to help me. So
that would be nice.
Yeah.
Kind of take the weight off the shoulders. Man, that is a lot of farmers markets you go and making all those popsicles. Yeah. Like, that is a process that you do. And it's very inspirational. Yeah. Just you doing that and you producing all your popsicles by yourself and really going out there and grinding it away. That's so cool.
It's a labor of love.
For sure. So leading off that, with Fanny's continuing to grow each year, what are some of the hardships that you face and overcome?
Well, I think the biggest struggle has been as we've grown is just being, we're still a pretty small company, but we're, like I was just saying, we're just too big for me. Like we're in that weird phase of we're not really big and we're not, we're too big to be small for one person. So I think that's been the hardest thing. Each summer I say, oh my gosh, I cannot do another summer like that. That was crazy. But then I do the next year and then it gets even crazier. And I got a new software this last year, which has been a game changer for me. Just back of the house stuff. I've just never had a good system. That was a hardship that I fixed this last year. And just, how do I intake information? How do I communicate with people? That has been great. But the fun side effect of that new software I have is it's told me how many events that I've done. And like, I did like 120 events in like a very short, you know, and it's like, okay, I am working hard. Like, okay, this is validating me.
You got the results. Instead of the head.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I feel really busy. No, it is. So I think some of the hardship is just how to, I think making really good systems so that it, the workflow on the back of the house is good. Then I can be better, like when I'm in the kitchen and knowing what I need to be producing. And then, like I've already said, just the hardship of how do you grow when you're not big enough to make that leap of having a production facility, but you just need that help.
Yeah, for sure.
That is, we're definitely going through that growing pain right now. And to be determined how it ends.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the biggest things that we've been working on is just like organization, because it's like, oh, we got to call these people or we got to message these people back. And it's just like, if you're more organized, if you have like a calendar is the biggest thing that I've recently picked up, because it's like, it's so much easier to write it down and then have it written down rather than be in my phone somewhere and hopefully that notification pops up. But organization's so key.
It's so key. And the other piece I was going to say with the hardship, which just feeds into what you said, is that people, social media is so great. It's so great. And sometimes it's so hard.
Yes.
And that has been a hardship on one hand with just, it's so great because you get your name out there and you are in this community of people and they're sharing and talking about you and you're talking about them. And, but it's just, that is so much more the business.
Yeah, than that's a whole nother side.
Than I ever even thought. Like, the how much time social media takes of just, what am I going to post? And what am I going to, how to reply? And and that's, so there's so many ways that people can contact you. They can contact you through your Facebook. They can contact you through your website, your Instagram. And then, or they can call you or email you. And then you're like, how did they, I don't even know where that message is. So again, the organization of like, I have a system now. It's like, this is what I do. And I know all my information's in one spot versus like, was that an Instagram message or a Facebook message? So that's been a growing process too.
Totally.
Yes. Darn social media.
I know. So what advice would you give someone that is looking to grow in their local community?
Well, the thing the base for our business has always been kind of support local, like just support local farmers and businesses. But I really do think that has helped my business grow is that and that's kind of a buzzword right now, like so support local. But it really, it's great. Like just finding your people.
Yeah.
Right.
Find your people that are doing the same things you're doing and just supporting them. And like, totally. Whether that's tagging them or supporting their business or reposting something, then you just find these people that are all kind of doing the same thing and all really supporting each other. I just think that has been the biggest lesson in this business last 6 years is you support other people, they just want to support you too.
Right.
And like lift you up because you're just so excited about what they're doing. So I think it's a win-win for
everyone.
They're
very like-minded when you're finding like your own niche that you're in, especially like you with working with local farmer markets and local farmers, like it all goes around full circle with you guys because it's like they want you to buy their products,
absolutely.
But you need their products to sell to the community. So it's beautiful
just
to keep that full circle going.
Yeah, exactly. Agree. 100%.
Yes.
Very cool. Yes. Cool.
All right, now last question, and let's end this on a fun fact like always. What is the most popsicles you've sold in a day?
Well, I did not officially look this up, but I'm going to say it was definitely, it's always Bloom's Day. So I set up on the Bloom's Day course, and I mean, it's always around 700-800 pops.
Oh,
I probably could sell more, but it's more of a logistics of how many coolers I can bring.
Yeah. Right.
So when we're done, we're done. But yeah, that is by far our best.
That's a lot of popsicles.
A lot of prep.
Oh,
yes.
Oh my gosh.
But you know what? But again, that whole community thing, like it's one of my favorite events. Like we get our music going and we're waving and clapping and it's my kids are out there waving signs and it's a long day, but it's one of our favorite. And it just kind of kickstarts like summer's here,
exactly.
Beginning of May and we're ready for ice pops.
You can see everyone in the
I know.
Community,
yeah.
So it's always fun.
And even if people don't stop, they're like, we saw you on the course. Like, I love it.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Fun. Yeah.
That is awesome. Well, to sign off, we first want to thank you for sitting down with us today and sharing your business, Fanny's Ice Pops. What is the best place for our listeners to get a hold of one of your popsicles and get a hold of you?
Okay, well, our product year-round is available at Sweet Peaks Ice Cream downtown, Lucky Vintage, which is an antique store in Vinegar Flats. They have a cooler there. My Fresh Basket and 291 Brew House in 9 Mile Falls, and then Daily Life Essentials in Deer Park. They all have coolers year-round at those places. But to contact me, you can Instagram, Facebook, email through our website. Any of those ways work.
Nice. How do you spell your Instagram name?
It's all one word, lowercase. It's just Fanny's Ice Pops. So it's FanniesIcePops.
Perfect.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
Thank you all for listening to episode number 8 of the Pacific Northwest Community Dreams podcast. We hope you learned as much as we did listening and hopefully inspired you to get out there and start turning your dreams into a reality. Until next time, listeners, keep chasing those dreams.